today. Do you know without a doubt that He is your Savior? I hope so this morning. He is the author of eternal salvation. He did everything that Dayton sang about. He came to this earth. He suffered. He bled. He died. And He was buried and He rose again the third day in victory. And He did all that for us so that we could have salvation. And so I hope that you know Him as your Savior today. Nehemiah chapter number 12. I'd like for the next couple Sundays to turn our attention to the matter of thankfulness. And so that's why we've come to Nehemiah chapter 12 this morning. We know that Ezra and Nehemiah are the great chapters on the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah chapter number 12 is going to speak of that specifically about the walls. And so I want to see that this morning. All right, if you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 12. We will allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church. Nehemiah chapter number 12. We're going to begin in verse number 27. The Bible says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathah. Also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall." And in the remainder, we're going to read it as we go through the message this morning, but he continues to speak about the dedication of the wall. And I want us to drop down to verse 43. This is really our text verse this morning. We will read those other verses during the message this morning. But notice verse number 43. The Bible says, "Also that day," the day of the dedication of the wall, "also that day they offered great sacrifices and," what's the word there? "Rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy." And by the way, that's not saying that God's standing there and He's saying, "You, rejoice." No, that's not what He's saying. It's saying that God has done so much for them that they just automatically rejoice. And so it says, "So God had made them rejoice with great joy, the wives also, and the children rejoiced." And notice this, "so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." And so this morning I want to bring you a message entitled, "Let Your Thankfulness Be Heard." Let your thankfulness be heard. Father, help us today and teach us. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do in our hearts in these next few moments. I do pray once again, Father, if there would be one here today or maybe even several, Father, I do not know, Father, whether it be in this auditorium or with Miss Beverly, the kids, Lord, if there would be any today that have never come to the knowledge of Christ, they're not saved, their sins haven't been forgiven, they're not born again, they are not at this very moment ready for eternity. Right now at this moment, they sit under the condemnation of God. Father, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray that they would see that Christ has made the way that they can be saved. And so, Lord, I pray for that today. For us as believers, Father, stir our hearts in this matter of gratefulness and thankfulness and rejoicing. And Father, I pray that we truly would let our thankfulness be heard. So teach us and help us that with that today. Remind us, stir us, move us to action, Father. And we'll thank You for what You do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Before we come back to our text, I want to take just a little detour real quickly. In chapters number 11 of Nehemiah, and the first part of chapter number 12, really down through verse number 26, we have a great register of names of individuals, regular Jews, singers, Levites, Nethinims, some of them were called. And so we have this great register of names, and we read through it, and maybe even sometimes when we're reading through our Bibles and we get to this point, we're like, "Oh my goodness, what about John and James and Tim, and what about some easy names? These are hard." And so we might ask ourselves, why are all these names in here? I believe, and this is my belief, you may differ with it, But I believe they're here simply for remembrance. I believe they're here for maybe their family members or really for the Israelites as a whole to look back and say, okay, these were men and these were individuals who had some dedication to God and they had a desire to come back and to do something for God and to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls and to serve God. And I believe it's there for, hey, by the way, as we think about generational hope, I think that's one of the reasons why it's there. For people to look back and remember and put a name with what had been done there in Jerusalem. And then in verses, chapter number 12, verse 10, down through verse number 21, we have priests, really down through verse 26, we have priest begetting priest. The sons were following their fathers in the way of the Lord. So just wanted to mention that as just another reminder, another reference to our Generational Hope series. Look, it is important. It is important that we leave examples, that we do our part for the next generation. Now, the next generation has to do their part. Every generation has to advance. Hey, boys, you have to advance just like mom and dad does, okay? Every generation has to advance, but we need to leave them an example. And I believe that's why all those names, even as hard as they may be to pronounce sometimes, I believe that's why they're there. But what we have in our text today, beginning in verse 27 all the way down through the end of the chapter, verse number 47, we have a solemn thanksgiving to God for His mercy, for His grace, for His provision, for His strength, in allowing them to come back and to rebuild the walls, to giving them the wherewithal to come back and to rebuild the temple, and more specifically here in the book of Nehemiah, to rebuild the walls. And the Bible says in verse number 43 that on that day, the day of the dedication of the wall, that their rejoicing, their joy was heard afar off. Now, how far was that? I don't know. It just says afar off. Was it a mile? Was it 10 miles? I don't know. But the Bible says that their rejoicing was heard afar off. You ever get loud about anything? I remember the first time that my wife ever came home, or not came home, but came with me to visit during the holidays. It was during Christmas, and this was before we got married. She came to visit. And she had Christmas with our family. And I think I've told y'all this before, but she left that night. My brother and his wife and kids and my sister and her husband and all the kids, we were all there at my mom and dad's house. And we left that night and she was like, "Your family is loud." Now, she grew up just her mom and her sister. Okay? And her dad was the type, "You are seen, but not heard. I see you, but I don't want to hear you." And so we left that night, and she's like, "Oh, I've got a headache. Y'all are so loud." And when all of us get together, I'm not, but they are. They are loud. It's just conversation here, conversation there, talk over each other. Television on, and it's loud, and I'm sitting there thinking, "Do y'all need hearing aids? That television doesn't need to be that loud." And it's just loud. You ever get loud about anything? You ever get loud about a ball game? Yeah, I saw some people turn and look at somebody else. Y'all get loud? Hey, I'm just going to be honest, just be transparent. When me and my boys watch Tennessee, it might get a little loud. We were gone when Tennessee beat Alabama. Jonathan was the only one home. And I told my wife that night, I said, "I bet there was some loudness in the house. Nobody home but him. I guarantee you there was some rejoicing going on in the house." Politics, you ever get loud about politics? Hey, it didn't go the way everybody said it was going to go this week, did it? Have you been loud about that? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, have you been loud about it? We get loud about a lot of things. Some are okay, maybe some aren't. But we can get boisterous. We can get vociferous about things, can't we? And the Bible says here that the Israelites, the Jews, because of what God had done for them, they came together for a day of dedication. And boy, they were loud. And so I want to challenge us this morning to let our thankfulness be heard. Why were they thankful? How did they allow or let their thankfulness be heard? And I want to give you three ways that they did that this morning here in Nehemiah chapter number 12. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back. And let's walk through this chapter this morning if we could. Let your thankfulness be heard. A lot of voices out there today, aren't there? And they are letting their voice be heard. Okay, we have the truth. And we need to let our voice be heard. We have a God who has blessed us beyond all blessings, the Bible says. The Bible says He daily loadeth us with benefits. He backs up the dump truck every day and He loads us with benefits every day. That is a God who deserves for us to be loud about Him. He deserves that because He's been good to us. We can get loud about many things, and it's okay, but we ought to be loud about our God. Oh, but Pastor, that's just, that's kind of obnoxious if you get loud about your God. Why? We don't worry about getting loud at a ball game. Is that obnoxious? Sometimes it is. Me and Josh and Jonathan were at a Tennessee basketball game last year, and there was a guy about two or three rows behind us, and Tennessee was winning. And he was a Tennessee fan, and he was obnoxious. I'm like, I want to turn. They're winning! They're winning! And boy, he was obnoxious. And I know sometimes people can be obnoxious, but we don't mind being obnoxious about sports or about politics. We ought to be loud. We ought to voice our gratefulness to God for what He's done for us. So let's see how they let their thankfulness be heard here in Nehemiah chapter number 12. Number one, they let their thankfulness be heard, first of all, by their desire to dedicate. They let their thankfulness be heard by their desire to dedicate. Here in verse 27, that's exactly what they're doing. They're coming together to dedicate the walls. The walls had been rebuilt. The gates had been put on. And they're ready to dedicate this wall. And so they call out the Levites and the singers, and they call everyone to this dedication. Verse 27 says, with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages, also from the house of Gilgal. The Bible says, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem, and the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. And the Bible says, then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshaiah and half of the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, and Meshulam, Judah, and Benjamin, and Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests, sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the sons of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and the brethren, Shemaiah and Azrael. See what I'm saying? Man, where's John and James at, right? They're in the New Testament. Malalai, is that how you say that? That brother's right there, right? Malalai and Galalai? Maybe they were twins. They were probably twins. Or no, triplets, may I? Nethanel and Judah, Hanani with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe, before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them, there were two companies, and the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananil, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. And the priest Eliakim, Maaseiah, Meniamin, Micaiah, Elioni, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets. And so here's what they did. They brought everyone together, and they actually went up on the walls. They actually went up on the top of the walls, and I believe the passage is telling us that there were two different companies, and one went on one side and one went on the other, and they circled the wall. And by the way, they ended up back down in or at the temple. And we'll see that at the end of the chapter. But they are on the walls when they are dedicating the walls. And they're on the walls singing. They're on the walls praising. I believe they're probably on the walls singing psalms and speaking psalms. By the way, at Thanksgiving sometimes we will take Psalm 136, the great psalm on the mercy of God. And we'll have some of the people say the first part of the verse. And then the other people get the easy part. For His mercy endureth forever. Well, I believe they were doing that. You had two different companies. Probably one company's saying one part of a verse or one part of a psalm. And the other company's saying they are echoing another part. And they're singing and they're praying God. Listen, they let their thankfulness be heard by their desire to dedicate. Let me ask you this question. I want participation right here. What does it mean, or what are we saying when we dedicate something to God? What are we saying? All right, let me take one at a time, Ms. Kay. Okay, it belongs to God. It's yours, not mine. It's for His glory and honor. When we dedicate something, whether it's a child, a baby, we have a baby dedication, or whether it's a home or maybe a business, or maybe ourselves, when we dedicate something to God, we're saying, God, it's yours, and I acknowledge that it's yours. And that's what they're doing here at the walls of Jerusalem. They're saying, God, this city is yours. God, these walls, this temple, this city, this people, this is yours. You've done this. You have strengthened our hands, as the book of Nehemiah says many, many times. You have strengthened our hands to be able to come and to rebuild these walls. It's yours, and we are trusting you to provide. We're trusting you to protect. We're trusting you to prosper. That's what we're saying when we dedicate something. When you, some of you in here this morning, when you brought your children, your babies to the front here, and we prayed over them and you dedicated them to God, that's exactly what you were saying. You're saying, God, you are the one who I am trusting to protect this child, to provide for this child, to prosper this child, to use this child, to possess this child, because he's yours, she's yours. That's what we're saying when we dedicate something to God. So one of the ways that we express and we allow our thankfulness to be heard is when we have a desire to dedicate. One of the greatest ways that any of us will ever let our thankfulness be heard is when we give ourselves wholly to God. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about when we completely, once and for all, say, Lord, I've held back this area of my life. I've held back this area of my life. But Lord, lock, stock, and barrel, I'm yours. That's what Romans 12:1 is. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That's what that is. When I completely and wholly present myself to God, I am screaming, even though I may not scream, I am screaming my gratefulness to God. Let your thankfulness be heard. How did they do that? By their desire to dedicate. They were demonstrating their gratefulness for being able to return from Babylonian captivity, to be able to return to Jerusalem, to be able to rebuild the walls, to be able to rebuild the place of worship, the temple. How do we manifest and how do we let our thankfulness be heard for the fact that Jesus Christ has saved our souls from hell? With a desire to dedicate ourselves to Him. With a desire to say, okay, you've bought me with your precious blood. I'm yours anyway. I trust you to protect. I trust you to provide. I trust you to prosper me. I trust you to prepare me and to guide me. I trust you. I'm yours completely. Let your thankfulness be heard. Listen, when I give myself to the things of the world, then what am I saying? I may never say anything with my lips, but with my actions, what am I saying? I'm saying, well, Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to miss hell, but I don't know really how grateful I am for that. No, it's a desire to dedicate. Let your thankfulness be heard by your desire to dedicate. By the way, notice this. Let's don't miss this. Look at verse number 30. By the way, dedication demands purification. Dedication demands purification. The Bible says, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Verse 43 says, also that day they offered great sacrifices. How did they purify it? I believe they probably purified it with the blood of sacrifices. They had great sacrifices that day. How did they purify things in the Old Testament? They purified them with the blood of a sacrifice. And so I believe the Levites are sacrificing and they are purifying and they are dedicating. As they dedicate this wall, they are purifying it. As they dedicate themselves, as they dedicate the Levites and the priests, they are purifying them with a blood sacrifice. Listen, dedication demands purification. If you're going to be dedicated to think about this, husbands and wives. If you're going to be dedicated to each other, it demands purification, doesn't it? Kids, if you're going to be dedicated to your parents, it demands purification. Purification from the world, purification from any other thoughts, purification from being obedient to anyone else other than mom and dad. Dedication demands purification. So we see, number one, they let their thankfulness be heard, first of all, by their desire to dedicate. By their desire to dedicate. Here's the truth this morning. If you're here this morning, if you know Christ, if you don't know Christ, you need to get saved. Why do you keep playing around with that? Heaven's real, hell's real. You're going to go to one of those places one of these days. Why won't you settle that today? Don't leave here another Sunday doubting if death were to take you or the rapture were to occur, where you're going to spend eternity. Don't do that. You don't have to. Most of y'all have been here enough. You've heard the gospel. You know what the Bible says. You know what Christ has done for us. He's done everything for us. Why would you continue to reject that gift? Don't do it. Okay, but if you have been saved, and you are saved, and you are a believer, and you are born again, can I challenge us? Quit dedicating yourself to that which has done nothing for you. Stop giving yourself to this world. The world has done nothing for you. Stop giving yourself to the trappings of this world, because the world will never and has never and will never do anything for you. But Jesus Christ has done all. Here's the truth. You and I who know Christ, we owe everything to Him. And He deserves every part of me. Hey, He deserves my obedience. Hey! He deserves my obedience to this. Why are we going to take His salvation and then spit in His face when it comes to being obedient to this? Why would we do that? He's given us everything. He's given us heaven. He's given us eternity. And then we'll look into this Word and we know what it says. And we know that He says do this and don't do that. But we say, well, that's just not something I want to do. Okay, that's fine. He's given us a free will. We can do that. But why would we? Why would we when He's done everything for us? So, how can we let our thankfulness be heard this morning? With a desire to dedicate. Every part of who I am, every part of my service, every part of my life. And by the way, I'm not talking about, Pastor saying all of us need to be preachers or be in the ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. You don't have to do that to dedicate yourself to God. By the way, kids and teenagers, they don't know what God's going to call them to do right now. Some of them might, but probably most of them don't. They can dedicate themselves right now. As young people. And I think many of them have. Some of them have. I hope all of them do. They can dedicate themselves completely to Him. How do we allow our thankfulness to be heard? First of all, by our desire to dedicate. Number two. They let their thankfulness be heard by their desire to dedicate. Number two, they let their thankfulness be heard by their refrains of rejoicing. By their refrains of rejoicing. You know what they did? They sang. They spoke. They played instruments. Did you notice verse 36? The Bible says, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. They're up on this wall and they're dedicating the wall, and they're up on this wall and they're rejoicing and they're praising God and they're offering sacrifices to God and they're rejoicing with great joy, the Bible says in verse number 43. And they have the instruments of David there. They're playing musical instruments and they're singing and they're speaking the Word of God and they're singing psalms. How do we let our thankfulness be heard? By the refrains of our rejoicing. Whether it's singing, whether it's speaking, whether it's playing a musical instrument. By the way, notice what it says in verse 43. It says, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. It's the whole family. It's everybody. They're all rejoicing. And again, this is our verse. So that everybody's rejoicing, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. What did it sound like? I don't know. What did the surrounding cities think? I don't know. Maybe they thought somebody's blowing something up, right, Brother Caleb? Maybe setting something on fire. I don't know. What are they doing in Jerusalem? They're rejoicing in God. They're rejoicing over God. They're praising their God. They're dedicating the wall. And by the way, dedicating the wall meant they're dedicating the city. They're dedicating themselves. And they're praising God for the fact that God, we know. Hey, by the way, real quickly, would you look back at Nehemiah chapter number 9? Do you know, they understood what they had done to deserve Babylonian captivity. They completely understood that. They understood they deserved going to Babylon. And they were thankful that God allowed them to come back. In Nehemiah chapter number 9, really, we could read the entire chapter, we're not. Let's begin in verse 30. It says, yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiest against them by the Spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. They knew who He was. They had experienced it. They had experienced the consequences of sin, and they knew that there was consequences for sin, but they had experienced the mercy of God, that after 70 years He had allowed them to come back. Verse 32. Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us. For thou hast done, what's the word there? Right. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Wow, that's an acknowledgement, isn't it? God, you've done right, we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them. Neither turn they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day. And for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. Hey, you've let us come back. We're servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests, they seal unto it. They let their thankfulness be heard by their desire to dedicate, because they were thankful that after everything they'd gone through, because of the consequences of their wickedness, because God is always right, that God was merciful and allowed them to come back, just like He said, after 70 years, and come back to Jerusalem. And I know I'm stepping back again. I'm going back to number one. But dear friend, God has brought us out of captivity. He saved us out of the bondage of sin. We ought to let our thankfulness be heard with a desire to dedicate, but then also with the refrains of our rejoicing. I know I get, and I've said this many, many times. You probably get tired of hearing. I know sometimes we say, "Oh, Pastor, I just don't have a good voice. I just when we have the song service, I just." You know, I kind of move my lips, but I don't really sing. I get it, but come on, let's sing. Wouldn't it be wonderful? You say, "But Pastor, the person in front of me would hear my voice." It's okay. They've heard my voice. It's okay. They'll hear my voice. You know who wants to hear our voice? It's God. Ooh, wonderful to raise the rafters in this roof because we're all singing and rejoicing, and we're allowing our thankfulness to be heard. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if our neighbor, Mr. Vince, could hear us singing on Sunday morning. The bad thing is we can't open these windows, but maybe someday we replace these windows, we could open them and let everybody hear. The Bible says they heard afar off. Let your thankfulness be heard by the desire to dedicate, by our refrains of rejoicing. And then thirdly, they let their thankfulness be heard by their surrender for service. Verse 44 speaks of specifically the workers and the servants in the temple. They have come upon the walls, and I love these accounts because these are accounts that really we can place ourselves in, because it was an account that has action. These individuals came upon this wall, and they're singing and they're praising God, they're sacrificing, they're dedicating the wall to God. And then when all is said and done, they end up at the temple. And they end up at the temple and they begin to speak about the individuals that are to serve in the temple. And these individuals are so thankful and so grateful for what God has done that they are willing, they are surrendered in their spirit to serve. The Bible says in verse number 44, "And at that time were some appointed over the chambers of the treasures for the offerings, for the firstfruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites, portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited." Look, they restored the fact that the priests and the Levites were supposed to be taken care of. And they put people, they set people in positions when the tithes came in, whether it was fruits or food or yes, money. When the tithes came in, there were people set over them to care for those, kind of like our treasurer, kind of like Brother Jackie does. They were set to take care of everything that came in. And then they had the porters and the singers, the Bible says. Verse 45, "And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." They said, you know, that's what they did in David's day. That's what they did in our father's day, our father David. The Bible says, "And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion." They gave. Not only were they surrendered to serve, they gave. They were surrendered to give. They were surrendered to just be obedient to what they were supposed to do. They had reestablished, they had restored order in the worship. They sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. They let their thankfulness be heard by their desire to dedicate. And listen, there's so much in that dedication. I don't think we totally understand. I don't think we've probably ever seen anything like it. For a group of people, for a wall to be big enough for people to go on top of and to walk around it And while they're walking around it, they're playing musical instruments and they're singing praises and they're probably speaking psalms and they're in chorus. One group is saying part of the psalm, the other group is saying another part of the psalm or the verse. They're singing different stanzas. They're just praising God. They're sacrificing. The Levites, the priest, they're sacrificing to the point that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And by the way, I pray that the rejoicing of Maranatha Baptist Church, whether it's by voice, whether it's by lips, or by life, is heard afar off. Whether the rejoicing, the gratefulness of our lives, can I say this with all the love that's in my heart for every single one of you? If you're going to live like the devil this week, don't tell anybody you go to Maranatha Baptist Church. Please don't do that. And I'm serious. I'm not just trying to make a joke. I'm serious. Don't tell anybody you come to this church. If you're going to tell people you come to this church, then you need to live what the Bible says we ought to live. The world is tired of a bunch of fakes and a bunch of hypocrites. The world is tired of Christians who act just like the world. It's sad, it's a sad indictment that this world knows how Christians ought to act and we don't. Because this world can look at Christians and see how they act and then they talk about being a Christian and they're puzzled because they know how Christians ought to act. They know that Christians ought to be different than they are. They know why they do what they want to do because, hey, that's what I want to do. I don't proclaim to be a Christian. But then they look at Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian. I put John 3:16 on my social media. I put Philippians 4:13 on my social media. And then they act like the devil all week. And the world laughs. And the devil laughs. And the devil says, ha, 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 got another one. Because you're just a pawn in my hand. Don't do that. Listen, I pray that our gratefulness and thankfulness to the God who's done everything for us, or for the God, for Jesus Christ who's done everything for us, I pray that it's heard afar off by our lives, by the way we live this week, by the way we walk, by the way we treat people, by the way we speak. I pray that it's heard afar off by our lives. But even more than that, I pray that it's heard afar off from our lips. From our lips. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something happens this week, an answer to prayer, praise the Lord. You're in your office and boy, you get an answer to prayer, praise the Lord. You go to work this week, hey, can I show you what God showed me in my devotions this week? Can I share something with you? I had a church member this week that shared something with me. You can share stuff with me, it's a blessing to me. And they shared something with me this week, it's a blessing. Hey, can I share the devotion that God gave me this week? You can do that with a coworker. You can do that with your husband or your wife or your children. The Bible says, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. This, as we go in just a week and a half, as we embark upon Thanksgiving, we have much to be thankful for. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, that may be true, but you probably don't know what somebody else is going through. And the truth is, no matter what we're going through, we all have much to rejoice in because we know the God of heaven. Because our sins have been forgiven, washed beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a home awaiting us in heaven. We have the opportunity right now upon this earth to live the abundant Christian life. If we will allow, if we will allow God to lead us and guide us into that. He's already provided it for us. We just need to allow. So we have much to be grateful for. So, let's let our thankfulness be heard afar off. Maybe it's just with a family member next Thursday when you get together for thank. Maybe it's just a family member who needs encouragement. Let your thankfulness be heard. Maybe it's with a family member that may not really want to hear it, but they need to hear it. Let your thankfulness be heard. Pastor, you're never supposed to talk about politics or religion in family circles. Yeah, you can. Because you know what? It helps it to get loud. And then your voice is heard afar off. Things get really loud, doesn't it? Let your thankfulness be heard. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. May you help us to be a people who rejoice. May you help us to be a people who manifest that rejoicing in our lives. Father, who, if we're going to dedicate ourselves, we understand that dedication demands purification. And Father, help us to be people who have a desire to dedicate our own lives, the life of our family, the life of our church family. Maybe there's someone in here this morning who maybe needs to dedicate their business. I don't know, Lord. Maybe there's a teenager here this morning who just needs to dedicate their life to you. I don't know. But Lord, one of the ways we let our thankfulness be heard is by our dedication. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that today. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be people who sing. Pray that you'd help us to be people who rejoice. Pray that you'd help us to be people who have a surrendered spirit, a surrendered heart for service. May that be us today. Father, I pray again, if there's one here without Christ, may they be saved. For those who know Christ, Father, may they have been reminded today. And may we step out these doors, allowing our voices to be heard afar off because of the gratefulness that we have for who you are and what you've done. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Michelle's going to pray. The invitation's already been given. If you're here without Christ, you need to come. Believer, if you're here and you need to dedicate yourself, you need to come. Believer, if you're here and you've been lacking, if your voice has been timid, you haven't been allowing your thankfulness to be heard afar off, then maybe you need to come. I don't know. Only you know. Platform's open. The pew's open. Your pew's open. Make an altar wherever you can this morning. If you need to pray, pray. Let your thankfulness be heard. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, maybe on the way home you'd mark that verse 43. Especially that little phrase, their joy was heard afar off. I will praise Him, the song says. I will praise Him. Hey, next Tuesday night we're going to come in here and we're going to come hopefully prepared to give praise. Praise for God's character, one of His attributes. And I pray that you'll be prepared to do that, but let's not wait till a week from Tuesday. Let's not wait till November the 22nd. Let's go home this afternoon. Maybe find a quiet place. Or maybe around our lunch table with our family. Let's let our thankfulness be heard. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, the song says. Give Him glory, all you people. For His blood has washed away each stain. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for just how good you are to us. We thank you most of all for who you are. We get caught up sometimes in the what's, what you've done, and we should, but Father, help us not to forget who. You do what you do because of who you are. And so, Father, I pray that we would never forget that, and we praise you for who you are today. Thank you for the gift of salvation that you have so freely provided, so graciously provided. Father, I pray again if there's one here today that has never partaken of that grace, never had their sins plunged beneath the blood of Christ, may today be that day. Father, for a believer maybe who needs to let their voice be heard, maybe a believer who needs to let their life be heard, Lord, may we commit that to you afresh and anew today. Father, again, we love you. I pray that you'd help us as we leave today, bring us back together tonight. Help the ladies to have a good time this afternoon, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name.